Total Tuscany Podcast, Episode 61.
Holy cow, was that amazing. You know, like, was that unbelievable? The beauty of Brahma Sole and the sun, that's her house. You know, the chance to talk to her, to be in the medieval parade, too. So I think sometimes I run around too much and don't take it in, but I think sometimes you can't help but not take it in.
That's Kathy McCabe from Dream of Italy, describing hanging out with author Frances Mays in Cortona. Kathy will have a new PBS Dream of Italy Tuscan Sun special featuring Frances and her husband Ed coming out in August of this year. Kathy is also preparing for season 3 of Dream of Italy. Kathy is living the dream and has helped hundreds, if not thousands, of people make their Italy dreams come true. Besides the TV show, Kathy publishes the website dreamofitaly.com, which started as a subscription newsletter back in 2002. She recently launched a podcast of her own. On this edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast, Kathy joins us from Tuscany, where her dreams continue to inspire creativity and a business of making people happy. Welcome back to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice. He is Mr. Pat Companion. Pat, I think today we've hit the big time. We've reached superstardom, I think.
We've definitely outshot our coverage for sure. This is an interview we've been wanting to take care of for a long time.
You know, we really have. And many of you have watched Kathy McCabe on public television. Dream of Italy is the name of the TV show. But dreamofitaly.com has been around for a number of years. It started as a newsletter, a print publication, goes into the website. So many different features on Dream of Italy. But right now, Kathy McCabe, for a lot of Americans, because of public television, is like the face of Italy for people who want to travel there.
She makes Italy come to them for the first time. It's like Under the Tuscan Sun, but much more easy to appreciate.
What I like about Kathy's show, and there's so many things to like about it, just not the beauty of what Italy looks like, but she's so authentic. I mean, she's so wholesome and real with her guest, and really has just this wonderful look at the tourism part of Italy, and really going to different places that a lot of people have never seen before. It's that authenticity that I think she really connects with.
Very much a genuine look at Italy.
You know, she's got a lot of stuff coming up, and she's more than happy to talk about it on this podcast. Just to let you know, you can follow Kathy on all the social media channels, and make sure to check out her website, dreamofitaly.com. But Kathy McCabe, one of the most famous people we've ever had, joins us now on the Total Tuscany Podcast. Kathy, you are like an Italian media mogul. I mean, it started with dreamofitaly.com, and then you move into Dream of Italy, the TV show. Do you have to pinch yourself sometimes and go, oh my God, I have the best life ever?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I think, you know, people have a vision of what my life is like. It might be like, you know, I still run this. This is my own business. So while I get to travel here and have these once in a lifetime experiences, most of the time I'm behind my computer working very long days. So it's not all it's cracked up to be, but it is pretty spectacular.
Now, you are in Cortona as we speak, and I follow you on Instagram. I follow you on Facebook. I'm not a stalker. Trust me about that. But you were with Frances Mays yesterday. Tell us what you're doing in Tuscany, and tell us what you're doing in Cortona.
Actually, it was today, just earlier today. Well, I love Tuscany and decided to come back and actually bring my dad, my 81-year-old dad, who is in the last episode of season 2 of the PBS show with my late mother. I wanted to bring him on a trip, and in October, we filmed Dream of Italy, the Dream of Italy Tuscan Sun special with Frances Mays and her husband, Ed. And we've become, you know, friendly. Really enjoy each other's company. And so we met up again today, actually in Montefalconico, which is a town where another really interesting woman who has a TV show named Debbie Travis. She is very famous in Canada. She did it's a show called The Painted House. She did like home restoration and She has like a home shopping line, and she redid a house in Montefalconico, and she holds these really amazing retreats for women called Tuscan Getaway. And when we filmed Wine, Dine, and Shine dinner in Cortona in October, and Frances invited Debbie, and so she's got a little bit of an appearance in the PBS special. So all of us met up today for lunch, and you know, that's one of the best things about my work is all the people that I get to meet.
Do you find, Kathy, that the anonymity that you had when you first started out is kind of fading, and that you're recognized more and more as you go around Italy?
Well, this is a very funny story. A couple of years ago, I came when I had the idea to film with Frances. I came to Cortona with an Italian friend, and we were walking down the street with Frances and Ed, and someone came running up to me and said, "Oh my God, I've seen you on TV." And I said, "Wait, but this is Frances Mays. You know, like, well, I'm nobody. This is Frances Mays." And then about an hour later, someone else came up to me in Cortona. Just like, "We've seen your TV show." And why I think it happened, it has happened in the U.S. So what was funny is this guy, I think he thought I was Oprah Winfrey, you know, he thought I was really, really famous, this friend of mine. It's not so much that, it's I get recognized actually in Italy because I'm in context, right? Mm-hmm. People see this person in Italy. At home, I've been recognized a couple of times. But so that really cracked me up, and it cracked me up because I was with, I think, you know, the queen of Italy, Frances Mays, but she's not, you know, her face isn't out there all the time, but it will be with this PBS special. But the thing is, when people do recognize me, or they do email me, or they follow me, you know, it's not like I'm doing something incredibly controversial. It's something that brings people such joy that it's always a really, really pleasant experience.
Now, I know the PBS special is not going to be out until August, so people are going to be like, "Oh my God, I can't wait to see Frances Mays." You were nice enough to give us a sneak peek of that special, and I appreciate that. What was it like interviewing her? She seems very introverted and very private. Is that a good way to describe her?
I think that's not quite right.
Okay.
She may seem like that, and she comes off, you know, and she comes off very, she's a Southern woman, right?
Yeah.
She was born in the South, and she may seem very proper, but she has this great spirit. And we did a couple of events in D.C. and New Jersey to celebrate the launch of the show, and we had such fun. I think there's a lot more than meets the eye. She's truly a force of nature. She has three books that are coming out within 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Which is no small feat. So she traveled all over Italy, right? See You in the Piazza, which is out now. And we're actually doing this book club. It's fun. I've started this Dream of Italy book club on Facebook Live. So this Wednesday, and if people don't hear this, to tune in, they can see the video on facebook.com/Dream of Italy. We're talking about the book in the Piazza of Cortona. And, I think that will be really fun. But no, I think she's a really interesting lady, a very, very vivacious woman. And I think I'm excited for this special to come out so that people really see more of her. Because someone in the town, actually, in October, an expat, came up to me and she's like, "I'm really glad you guys are doing this show because everyone thinks she's Diane Lane, or everyone thinks she looks, you know, Diane Lane is Frances and Frances is Frances."
It's just interesting how one thing leads to another. How much of Frances's books influenced you in terms of what you're doing? We know the story that you went to Italy with your family and the grandfather's town and all that, but how much of that story that Frances put together and the subsequent books influenced you to do what you're doing?
I even remember her book on my bookshelf in my room. When it came out, I absolutely was a fan and have read all of her books on Italy. I have a funny story. That day when we were coming out to Bramasole to meet with her, she said to me, "You know, if you take the train, Ed will pick you up at the train station." and I've told this story before, actually at the events we had. Well, I've worked for famous people. I've interviewed famous people. Well, the fact that Ed Mays, Ed from the book, was going to pick me up at the train station, I was like beside myself. So I thought it was really funny and sweet. And I had such memories of him from over 20 years ago of reading the book. And I'm a purist. I know he kind of comes in at the end of the movie, but I love the true story. But she says, you know, it's a quiet book and they had to make it more dramatic. She's absolutely an inspiration. And I think this new book she wrote, See You in the Piazza, I mean, she's so poetic in her descriptions. She's really an inspiration. And to do this show with her, the thing is, she's also incredibly generous. You know, we shot a lot of extra footage. We overdid this. Hope maybe we'll do something more with all the other footage we have. But we filmed for 5 really long days. It's actually not even physically easy. It's a lot. But she and Ed just had such fun and kept on going and gave us all this time. And then it's even funny, this week I'm going to film, just because I happen to be here, I sent her this email. I was like, do you mind if we film for a couple of hours? We're going to film some promotions for the show and do a few little social media videos. So she's very generous with her time. And I think she truly... Oh, the other thing I was going to say is, I don't remember what year, but I went to see Brahma Sole with my mom.
Oh, wow.
I remember, you know, finding it, walking down the street, walking down that little country road, and going to see Brahma Sole when we were in Cortona. So to me, she really is like the queen of all of it.
You know, you mentioned going to see Brahma Sole with your mother. You're there with your father right now. Your story and origin of getting to Italy and falling in love with it starts with your grandfather. Just talk about the family aspect of it and what family means to you in this Italy dream that you have.
I have a bit of an interesting family story. As you mentioned, I think you know my story because we just launched a podcast and I did an intro episode, and I really put, it's about 10 minutes long, and I told in brief the story of why I dream of Italy. And you can go to dreamofitaly.com/podcast or Apple Podcasts. And I also delved into the story in one of the PBS episodes about a town called Castelvetere. So my grandfather would talk about Castelvetere, this mysterious, miraculous place, and it was the birthplace of his father. And my grandfather's dream was to find this town, to see this town. And this strange thing happened where he was on a cruise. It came into Naples. He asked the cab driver to take him to Castelvetere. He's taken to the wrong one. You know, he traveled all over the world but never saw this town. And so in 1995, my mother and I were going to Italy and decided we've got to go find this town. And we did. And it was the most magical day. And my mom said in the interview I did with her in the PBS show, it was like Brigadoon, like the town came alive for once in 100 years. And then very strangely, because truth is so much stranger than fiction, my grandfather passed away like 36 hours later and didn't know we had found the town. So it has this really Italy, and I was very close to my grandfather. So Italy kind of came along when my life was transitioning, and it just became this larger than life, this place that gives me, not just because of my family story, it gives me a lot of meaning in my life, or my work does. And so family is so important to Italians. And I think that there's been some family dynamic, the ancestors, something pushing me to continue to explore Italy and to bring these stories to life. And I don't think you have to have Italian blood to feel like that either, though.
So you started dreamofitaly.com back in, 2002? How did the TV show come about? I know you have a history in TV journalism. That's what you and I have in common. I worked in a newsroom most of my life, then ventured out to do something else. But you started dreamofitaly.com back in the early 2000s. How did the TV show come about?
Right, and it wasn't just a website. It still is a print publication. It's okay. A membership publication back in the day, or until recently, I called it a newsletter because it's a print newsletter, but it's got such a different meaning with emails now. So I call it a magazine or a publication. And so I was writing about, it's now 17 years, which is unbelievable to me. And we have 160 issues, and I need to send you a login and a password.
Please do so.
Where I've been covering, I've been covering experiential travel since before, or just when it was becoming a thing, like how to go truffle hunting, how to learn to make a fresco, how to, what locals to meet, how to really experience, not just, look at something in Italy, go and look at the Colosseum, but to like take a cooking class, to take a tour with your kids and have interactive activities. So all of those things are really beautiful and lend themselves, I think, to TV and photos. And it's a long story how the show actually came about, but I worked with someone who had some experience in bringing shows to PBS. And, we went and we shot this first season, and it just really resonated with people. The name is probably the best thing I've ever done. People truly do dream of Italy.
Yeah.
So now it's sort of come to life. It's all the things I've written about, you can see them on the screen. And so I'd say, I don't even know the percentage, but like maybe half of these things I've written about and then I go and do them on TV. But some of them are totally new. Like when I went to the workshop for the Duomo in Florence, we work with an Italian producer and he set it up. And he didn't tell me we were going to go up on this crane next to the Duomo. So I had no idea, and you can see how shocked I am. So some of the things are totally new and different for TV. Most of the things I do, you can't go hang out, for the day with Francis, but most of the things I do, or we even do with Francis, are things that travelers can come and do. So they're not, even though I do some very once-in-a-lifetime special things, most of the things we do on the show, other people can replicate. And we actually produce a couple of travel guides that go with the show, and you can come to dreamofitaly.com and put in your email and get them.
Kathy, I'm wondering if you find the time with your busy schedule to actually absorb the beauty of the place, or are you working so hard looking for those experiences and those how-to experiences?
That is a very intuitive question. Because sometimes I don't miss the beauty. I definitely take it in. I absolutely, sometimes when we felt like, I have to tell you, when we, the first day we filmed with Francis in October, so this is funny, this is my production, this is my business, I have a team for the TV show, but I'm ultimately responsible. And I kept looking at the weather and kept looking at the weather and kept looking at the weather. And it had, clouds, rain, clouds, rain, clouds, rain for days. And I'm like, oh my God, we cannot film under the Tuscan sun if there's no sun. And so we started filming on a Sunday and it looked like it was a full sun on that weather. And I'm like, okay, we're changing up everything. We're doing that interview in front of the house Sunday morning because we need to get that done. And then they happened to be having this festival in the town, a medieval parade that Frances and I dressed up for and walked in. I mean, unbelievable. And she was so tickled pink. She's lived here all these years and never did anything like that. And it was go, 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 right? Get it done, get it done. But I went back to where we were staying that night, and I think I practically cried my eyes out. I was so tired, but I was also like, holy cow, was that amazing? Was that unbelievable? The beauty of Bramasole and the sun, that's her house, the chance to talk to her, to be in the medieval parade too. So I think sometimes I run around too much and don't take it in, but I think sometimes you can't help but not take it in. Like, it hits you over the head, even if you're rushing.
You know, the first time I think I saw one of your shows, and it's just amazing how much you and I and Pat connect. Because Andrew Cotto, who we interviewed, kind of introduced us. And then I saw you going down the Arno with Federico from Palazzo Belfiore, and I'm like, well, Federico's a good friend of ours. He's been on this podcast several times. So it's amazing how people who have this fondness for Italy and Tuscany, they all seem to intertwine in some way.
Oh, it's a very, very, very small world. And I don't know if, like, I know social media has made it much smaller, right?
Yep.
All kind of find each other and connect. But it is a small world. I'm always amazed at who knows who. There's not 6 degrees. There's like 1 to 2 degrees of separation.
That's a good way to put it. What's your favorite part of Italy? Because you've been all over. You know, we focus on Tuscany, but where do you like to, if you could just go one place, where do you start?
You're killing me. You know, it might be because I'm right now. You know, there is, I don't know if I'm going to say, you know, I can tell you a few places I really love throughout Italy. There is something uniquely, there is something incredibly special about Tuscany. I do think it is, in a lot of ways, what we picture Italy to be. We've seen these photos of Tuscany, and we've heard these things. I took a ride yesterday. So my dad's with me on this trip. We were staying at this castle. I've become friends with the people who own it. It's called Castello delle Sere in Serre di Rapallano. And I said, Dad, you know, we had such jet lag. I said, we're getting in the car. We're going to take a drive to Pienza through the Val d'Orcia, which I honest to goodness think is one of the most beautiful places on earth. And, you know, it's been raining and raining for a month, and the weather finally broke yesterday and it was sunny. And even if you look at my Instagram pictures, they don't do it justice. So there is something, you know, I love the Terme di Saturnia, the hot springs and the Maremma. There, you know, Tuscany has a lot of variety. There is something really special about it. I do love the south of Italy, and that may also be, you know, my heritage and my blood. I think people can or should balance out their trips or explore all parts of it. Sicily, so many layers. Torino is one of my favorite cities in Piemonte. It's impossible to do everything here, but I understand why you guys are so focused on Tuscany. And the other thing, I read this article once, and it was like, you put the name Tuscany on anything and it sells, or Tuscan. You know, it just has this meaning to a lot of people. It means, you know, beauty, food, culture, a different way of life.
It really does. And I think that's why we were drawn to it. 10 years ago, Pat and I went for the first time, and we were hooked with our families. And now this podcast was born, and we really don't have a business plan made out of it, but we sure love taking people over there, and we sure love talking about it on a weekly basis. It gets into your blood.
The thing is, it's so shocking. Well, not shocking. And you can't run out. Even doing a Tuscany podcast or a magazine or a book, Tuscany is so rich. You will never run out of things to see, people to talk to. And that's only one of 20 regions of Italy. Italy just goes as deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper.
Kathy, if you had some time alone, you're in Florence, it's morning, the streets are not crowded, where would you go? What would you like to do for yourself?
That's actually a tough question. I think going to the gardens, Villa Bardini are beautiful, and you have the most stunning view over Florence. Obviously, the Boboli Gardens are really famous as well. I would say I love just to walk and walk. And when I'm in Florence, sometimes I just walk, not even in the center. I just like to see where people live and what traditional or regular Florentine neighborhoods are like. And I also love to get some views. So I might go to Fiesole or to Bagno Arcoli, and there are some beautiful views from those two towns as well.
So when you started going in the mid-90s and this came about, did you speak Italian then, and where is your Italian now?
Oh, this is the bane of my existence. So the funniest thing is I went to an international relations program where you had to graduate with a fluency in a language. And I did French. And my senior year, I was going to take a test. I was already interested in Italy, but it was 5 days a week. And it wasn't like I was a partier, but I was like, wow, that's a lot senior year, or the last semester of senior year. And I didn't do it. And it is really one of my, you know, I have obviously other big regrets in life that, you know, aren't trivial, but it was a really big regret. And so I have learned to speak mostly by going. I've taken a couple of classes through the years, like night school. I've done some of the apps. My grammar is atrocious, and I don't feel like my Italian is up to snuff in any way possible. I understand a lot. I get pretty tongue-tied. So actually last year I took some lessons in Florence with a tutor, and we worked a few mornings a few hours every morning. That was fantastic. And when I get the time, I think I'd like to go back and do that. I know people who didn't even speak Italian, and they take like one of these 6-week intensive courses. You can do them anywhere in Italy. A lot of people go to Florence. There's a lot of language schools. And I think you need something like that. I use Babbel, that app, a lot. I watch videos or listen to Italian even while I'm working, just to get the, just to get words in my head. But I feel like it's actually gotten harder for me, Italian. So it's something I'd very much like to improve. And I'm glad to know I'm not the only one, because when I interviewed Frances, she spoke about, her Italian's way better than mine, but she spoke about really feeling like she struggles with it. And then when we had lunch with Debbie today, she's been here 5 years, and she doesn't really speak the language very well. So it's not the easiest. It's the most beautiful language. The grammar and all the tenses, I think, are very challenging. It's my one thing I wish I was. It's very funny. I think I've also had, my parents have gotten older, and my mom passed away. I took care of her and helped my dad. And a lot of things distract me, and even running the business. And I feel like I need to make a lot more time to improve my Italian, because it's really, language is the key to everything.
You've done so much work to bring Italy to people and allow them to connect to Italy through you. I'm wondering if you've gotten a lot of feedback from your fans, some recollections that they've had connecting back with Italy.
So this is very funny. This is very strange that this just happened today. So we have sponsors. We have sponsors for the TV show. I raise all of the money. It's because it's a PBS show. So we have corporate and individual donors. And this small, wonderful small company called Live Tuscan, they run these, I won't even call them tours, but week-long kind of experiences in Cortona. They're having a week this week, and my dad and I are joining a lot of what they're doing. And this woman who was in the group, I got there, I dropped my dad off, I got there a little late, and she told the other woman, the reason I am here in Italy is Kathy McCabe. And I was just blown away that my work could have this influence. And I'd like to do a lot more with interacting with people, because we actually had 2 live events, and so many people came to the events. It was with Frances, and said there were actually 2 women who are pursuing Italian citizenship because they saw my show from my ancestral hometown. And they're like in the midst of the paperwork, and they're like, you can become an Italian citizen by blood in certain cases. And lately I've been hearing a lot of stories of people and what they, you know, and how the show has influenced them. But it's everything from, you know, they go and they take a tour, or with Alessandro from the Bologna episode, you know, they see somebody, they go and do it, or it inspires something more. Like when I went to find my ancestral hometown, and you know, I'd already found it 20-something years ago, but I recount the story in the PBS show. And I have gotten more emails and more feedback about that show than any other show. But it gives people the idea that they too can do this. You know, they can go find their town. They can try to find their relatives or find out more about their family. And I get emails like, we read about you know, this place in the newsletter, and we went, and it's really incredibly satisfying. But I feel like there's so many stories out there that I don't know.
Do you ever see yourself being an expat? Do you ever see yourself going, you know what, screw New York, screw D.C., I'm moving to Italy?
Yeah, I do. I do. I toy with it a lot. Well, you know, I'm at a certain point in my life where I have an older dad and I'm the only child. So, you know, although it's so funny this week, he's having the time of his life. I'm like, if we can just figure out a way to get the dog over here, maybe we should just live here. You know, actually, it's funny. But I think I would like to do something like 6 months in 6 months. I do think it, I asked Frances about this. She basically does a total of 6 months a year in North Carolina and a total of 6 months here in Cortona. And she said it's like being married to two different husbands. But it's funny, you know, you kind of get the best of both worlds. I could see living here full time, totally. But I could also see it's, you know, the people, a lot of people have very nice lives. Living part-time here as well.
Kathy McCabe, dreamofitaly.com. You can check out her brand-new podcast, which is out. Of course, watch her specials on PBS. And don't forget, coming out in August, the new Under the Tuscan Sun special featuring Frances Mays. Kathy, it's been a wonderful pleasure to visit with you. We appreciate your time. We know you're busy. And thank you for visiting the Total Tuscany podcast.
I feel completely authentic because I'm standing in Tuscany as we speak.
Pat, what the life she lives, huh?
I find myself repeating over and over. It's we're living vicariously through our guests, and she is exactly what she's doing. Exactly what you and I would hope to someday do.
You know, I do like the 6 months on, 6 month off kind of idea. I'm going to try to talk the boss. See, you're lucky; you work for yourself. I actually have a boss, but I'm going to start by asking for a month, and then maybe I'll ask for 2 months, because with Skype and Zoom and all sorts of video conferencing things, I can get a lot of work done and not really miss work. So I think once my next kid leaves the nest, I might have to go, hey, can I just do a month and see what it's like there?
Just to experience an immersion that long of a time. Yeah.
I mean, we think we know we'd like it, but I don't know if I'd want to start with 6 months or if I'd want to start with a month. What would you want to do? You would go there right away. We've been there enough. I think we should know, though, right?
I think for me, a couple of months would be kind of an ideal start.
Yeah. My brother, interestingly enough, he doesn't have the Italy bug like we do, but he just moved to Portugal. He retired at age 55, and he's upped and moved to Portugal. He's been there now 6 months. He moved in January. We're heading into June, and I haven't heard from him. So that must mean he really likes his expat life right now.
And I'm not sure if it's because of what we do and the interviews and the podcast, but I don't know. I seem to have more and more people coming up to me and talking about this type of a lifestyle. Somebody in my real life profession, somebody named Betty came up the other day and said, and asked about going to Italy and asked about relocating. It's something that's touching a lot of people. Kathy's doing a great service because more and more people are looking at that as a real option.
You know, whether it's through stories that Kathy delivers or that we deliver right here on the Total Tuscany podcast, I think being a European travel, Italian travel, and even maybe an expat life becomes more of a possibility the more you hear the stories and those stories are shared. Of course, you can always follow Total Tuscany year-round, every day round on social media. Just like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We try to stay up to date and share as much content as possible. Of course, you're listening to the Total Tuscany podcast. More than likely, you found it on iTunes. Please give us a 5-star review, because the more and better reviews that we have, the more people that get to see this podcast. And we appreciate everybody who takes the time, whether it's a half hour, 45 minutes, or even an hour, no matter how long we go, spend their time listening to Pat and I and bringing you the stories of Tuscany. For Pat Capagna, I'm Travis Justice. We'll talk to you next time on the Total Tuscany podcast.